Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the 17th chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 17. Numbers 17:1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod, according to the house of their fathers, and all their princes, according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked, and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, Bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so, as the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, Behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? Thus ends the reading of Numbers chapter 17. Well, it is a very important thing that we see in these next two chapters, Numbers 17 and Numbers 18, that the Lord is doing something that was necessary upon the difficulties that arose in Numbers 16. So Numbers 17 and 18 follow on here in order that we may see how egregious a problem we had in Numbers 16. The Lord Himself takes up two separate operations, one in chapter 17 and one in chapter 18, to reconfirm to the children of Israel the government that He had set up in the church. It is that important to Him. Notice that His own stated purpose here is, I'm going to show you by a sign whom I have chosen among all the tribes of Israel, so that we can do what? Cease the murmurings of the children of Israel. And in the next chapter, we're going to once again set out the difference between Aaron and his sons and the Levites, the rest of the Levites, Kohath, Merari, and Gershon, and all of their sons in the next chapter. The first thing then we need to understand is what a terrible and thorny and difficult problem we had in chapter 16. Because the Lord will take up two chapters here now, setting that straight, doing, if you will, what we call damage control. He's going to instruct them where they have fallen. He's going to cause them to know so that they will not murmur any longer against Him. And what was the error that we had in Numbers 16? There were many that had an egalitarian view of the ministry. He's going to put that away entirely in the next chapter. In this chapter, first, He's going to pick out Aaron once again, and he's going to do it by a miraculous sign. So all of the rods from all of the tribes of Israel come and are brought in to the tabernacle. And in the morning, Aaron's rod had budded. Not only had it budded, it brought forth blossoms, and overnight had yielded almonds. How many of you have read the book by George Gillespie called Aaron's Rod Blossoming? Okay, Aaron's Rod Blossoming, or as us Gillespie fans affectionately call it, ARB. Aaron's Rod Blossoming is built upon this very scenario. Whose government is it that is vindicated by the Lord? And of course, that is George Gillespie's defense of Presbyterian church government. You see, the same principle is true here in Numbers chapter 17. So, what do we do then? We learn to trust the structures that the Lord has put in place. Jesus said He's going to build His church. He also said He's going to be head over His church. And so if we will flourish in the means of Jesus' church, we will do what He said toward the setting up and running of it. And when we do so, what we will find is blessing. And when we do not do so, what we will find is strife, contention, difficulty, and trial. Now, that is not to say that all Presbyterian churches will have a gravy train with biscuit wheels. Doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that the Lord in the main is pleased to bless His own establishments. Remember in Acts chapter 15, when they came together to decide the Gentile question, then in Acts chapter 16, verse 4, when the decree from the council, from the Synod of Jerusalem, went out, and it went out as a decree to be kept by all of the churches, what happened? What was the result of those churches doing that? They enjoyed an unprecedented peace and prosperity. Because they did what? They obeyed the voice of the Lord. So, we need to learn to trust the Lord's ministers. In Hebrews chapter 13, one of those words, it's Hebrews 13, 7 and 17. In 17, I believe it is, in the second instance, where we are told to obey those that have the rule over us in the church, the Greek word there used is not hupotasso, which is what you would expect for obey. It is patho. Patho. And patho means to have a particular confidence, to have a particular convinced state of mind that they are doing what the Lord would have them to do. In other words, they get the benefit of the doubt because God has put them in their place. I think, now I don't sense this from any of you particularly. If this is a problem for you, then take it. Take it as it comes. But I believe that in most churches today, especially many Presbyterian churches, the minister never gets the benefit of the doubt. That what he gets is, mostly he comes to the pulpit week by week, ready afterwards to debate what he has said, because there will be many dissenters found. Many ministers have become gun-shy in the pulpit. That's why we pray for them, that they would be courageous in their ministry. You see, but Hebrews 13, 17 enjoins a particular settledness, a particular confidence in ministers. What did Dathan and Abiram say? Remember, Dathan and Abiram, they were of the house of Reuben. They weren't even Levites. Now, Korah was a Levite, and his sons were Levites. And they came against Aaron, and they said, you know, hey, all the congregation's holy. Dathan and Abiram, what did they say? We're not coming up. You don't have any authority over us. And so there are many in the churches today that have this view of the ministry where every Lord's Day, it's roast pastor. We go home and we pick out everything he said wrong. Now, pastors say things wrong. Oh, I know. They do. They have slips of the tongue. They get to thinking in the wrong direction. They're fallible men, just like everyone else. No doubt. But what are we looking for? What is our focus? Is our focus all the congregation is holy? Or is our focus, here's a rod that is budded. Here is the Lord's appointment. And the Lord thinks that's such an egregious problem that the ground clave open and swallowed up those dissenters. And then we spend two chapters for those that survived setting things in order again. All right, so then I want to close with a very interesting portion at the end of the chapter here. The children, verse 12, the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die, shall we be consumed with dying. You know what this is. This is rebellion and complaint. It's further murmuring. The Lord is too hard on us. The Lord here is just too hard on us. You know, now, any time we come near the tabernacle, we're just going to die. Because the Lord has caused Aaron's rod to bud, because He's picked out the tribe that He wants. Now, we know that, you know, we're just going to be consumed with dying. Inadvertently, we go by the tabernacle, and what happens? Zap! Shall we be consumed with dying? You see what this is? They're talking about the last chapter. They're talking about Korah and his rebels and Dathan and Abiram. Rather than doing what? Appreciating and walking in the fruits that were meet for repentance. What did they do? They complained against those means. They complained against what God had established in their midst. They complained that God had judged Dathan, Abiram, Korah, and his sons. They complained that God had judged sin in their midst. They complained that He made repentance a necessity. They complained against the righteous judgments of God. It's a tough lot. This is a tough church here. These folks. Whenever the Lord moves in their midst and demands righteousness of them, they cry out that His judgments are too severe. Oh, well, since we can't be perfect, then we're all going to die. And so we continue with the complaint here at the end of the chapter. They continue the murmuring. This is why the apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which we will, Lord willing, read in 5 weeks or so. This is why he says, take negative example from those ancient Israelites and don't murmur like they murmured. It's a wicked sin, murmuring. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die. Shall we be consumed with dying? And what they do in that is they say, the Lord is all judgment and no mercy. The Lord is all hardness and no compassion. Little do they realize that twice now the Lord has threatened to wipe them off of the face of the earth as one entire congregation and make of Moses a new nation. And Moses has stood in that office of mediator for them. Little do they realize the compassion and mercy of God bearing with them this whole time. Little do they realize that God has caused them to come near to the tabernacle at the appropriate times that He may commune with them. Instead, they say, oh, we could never go near there again. You see how over the top and murmuring this complaint is. Let it never be so among us. Let us learn that justice and mercy and right and wrong are not defined by us, but they are defined by God. So when God says, you will come near to me at these times, we will love to come at those times. And when God says, you'll not come to me in this manner, we won't complain and say, oh, we'll be consumed with dying in judgment. We will say, I'll not come in that manner. Because justice and right, God gets to decide what that is. And we don't. They complain against the Lord's judgments here. In so doing, they put their judgments ahead of God's. Thus ends the reading of Numbers